What do cheers, we're almost at, well, I can still use a New Year's joke because it's only 14 days into the new year, right? So I can still, 15, well, 15 tomorrow. Yeah. So what do cheerleaders say on New Year's Day? I actually was using this for Lizzie, but she's not here this morning because she's a cheerleader, but they say Happy New Cheer. So, okay, now my New Year jokes are done for this year. What is a weatherman's favorite winter food? Burrito. You can use that one at home. And where do snowmen or snow women keep their money? In the snowbank. Jody, did you hear that one before? Yeah. Okay, Jody, you're not allowed here. Good. No, that's good. That's why they're here. And then, do you know what today is? So today it's Dress Up Your Pet Day. National Dress Up Your Pet Day. As I told you last week, it was Bobblehead Week, but Bobblehead Day. So today is Dress Up Your Pet Day. I got a little thing in our stocking stuffer this year was Jen got everyone a prank. So like all the kids had these pranks and some of the pranks, I'm like, what in the world? And they came in this prank box and they looked like they were real, whatever the item was. And so the thing in my stocking stuffer was this little dog mitt that it said, clean your house, let your dog clean your house. And it had these like dog mitts that were like mops. And the dog was supposed to, so I guess I could use that for Dress Up Your Pet Day, but anyway. This morning, I'm really excited. We're going to start a new series, and that's actually Matthew 11, 7 through 15. I had 7 through 14, but it's the life, I call it, it's going to be a series, The Life and Times of John the Baptist. I love when I picture John the Baptist, and actually when I picture John the Baptist and I picture Jesus and I picture the apostles and the disciples, I picture the Baptist. And a lot of times we see these pictures and you see these pictures of these kind of wimpy guys. I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's the pictures I see. And I always envisioned, like, Jesus was a carpenter in the time of throwing hammers down. Not with electronics and air, but I picture Jesus, who could endure what he did on a cross, as a pretty built man, strong guy, solid hands, calluses, cracks in his fingers from working. John, I look at the same way. You know, I think John the Baptist was a guy who lived out in this desert and endured all sorts of stuff. We're going to get into his life, but I'm just giving you kind of what I picture. So I picture John the Baptist as this solid man, not something you see like you see like these people walk through. You know, you know what I mean? Where you see like these, like this weak man. That's what you see in these pictures. And I always picture these men of Scripture as these men that were just strong, were able to endure all sorts of hardships, that they were just a solid dude, if you can say dude for John the Baptist. So that's where we're going this morning. We're going to open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the prophecies that were given for John the Baptist. I thank you, Lord, that those prophecies were fulfilled through Scripture, and that all that came through John the Baptist and into you and your salvation, Lord, help us to understand more today, this morning. Speak to us on how we need to be living when we read Scripture. Fill our mind on how to best apply these things to our life now and apply these things to how we can reach other people around us. In your name we pray. Amen. Matthew 11, 7 through 15. We're going to read through this. And the series that we're doing with The Life and Times of John the Baptist, I don't know how long the series will be. because like this morning we're going to look at what Jesus said about John the Baptist and what the prophecies said about John the Baptist. And then we'll dig into John. It might be a couple weeks. I don't know, but we'll kind of figure that out as it goes, because I want to really dive deep into John the Baptist on who he was, what he did, what scripture said. And this morning we're just looking at two things: what Jesus said about him and what the prophecies said about him. So Matthew 11, 7 through 15, Jesus is talking about John the Baptist. And he says, I'm like, where in the world? I was in Luke. All right. Verse 7. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to a crowd about John. So Jesus says this: What did you go out? He's talking to these disciples that were leaving. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then, what did you go out to see? He asked us a bunch of times, what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger, a prophecy here, Jesus is quoting, I will send my message ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. For the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the laws prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear. And I'm praying this morning that we have some ears. Not just in our head, but in our hearts and in our souls, to really see what's going on here. So Jesus is talking about, if you're looking at your notes in the back, and you can take these out, but I kind of follow those. Jesus says what about who? John the Baptist. This forerunner, this guy that... Hey, we got some snow going. Sorry. I was shocked because when I came in this morning, it was, I'm sorry, ADD Jeff here. John the Baptist. And see, I already warned you. I'm a prophetic word. No. Jesus said he was more than a prophet. So here's John. John the Baptist. Jesus is talking about him, talking about who this man was. This guy that was in the desert, out at the Jordan, baptizing people. Who is that one? Esther, is that you? No, that's all right. Huh? I don't know how to do it. They trick you all the time. I know it. And Jesus says there is none greater than John the Baptist, except when the emergency alert kicks through, and then that might be a little bit, you know, greater. Jesus says there is none greater. No woman has given birth to a child up to this point as great as John the Baptist. How much do we know, really? How much do we know about John the Baptist? So here Jesus is saying, this is the best man ever born. And I'm thinking, okay, so, I mean, David, We have David, we have Samuel, we have all these great men of scripture, Noah, Enoch, we have all these men that we look at in the Old Testament, and Jesus calls out and said, there is none greater than this man, John the Baptist. So how much do we know about him? What was said about him? Isaiah 40, verse 3, as we look at some of the prophecies. So that's what Jesus said about him. And then Jesus went into some prophecies. So this is what was foretold about John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist, not just a wimpy little guy walking through the desert. John the Baptist was a strong man who had conviction, who is willing to stand when no one else would stand. John the Baptist, that's the man we are looking at. That's the man that Jesus was talking about. Isaiah 40, verse 3. Says this. A voice of one calling in the desert, preparing the way of the Lord, making straight in the wilderness, a highway for our God. That was what was spoken of John the Baptist in Isaiah. Thousands of years before John the Baptist was born, says there will be a voice of one calling in the desert, preparing the way of the Lord. John the Baptist was that man. And then you start to think about, okay, so this was the man preparing the out in the wilderness. He was in the desert. He was preparing the way for our salvation. So John the Baptist for us, he's not our salvation. John the Baptist for us, he was just preparing the way at this time for the Israelite people to come and turn back to God. Another prophecy. Malachi 3:1, we're going to be here for a little bit, jumping around Malachi on these prophecies. Malachi 3:1 says, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Why? That's my question. Why did Jesus Christ need someone to prepare the way? And I'm telling you, I love God with all my heart. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes I can't wait to sit in God's presence and ask him these questions, because we know that God has a plan for, like, why did Jesus need a forerunner? Right? Well, I mean, it's not like a band. It's like you go to a concert and they have the opening act, right? And then they have the guy to follow. Did Jesus really need that? I mean, Jesus was Jesus. He could have been doing. So I asked myself, why did God prepare this man who Jesus says is the greatest man ever born to a woman? And why did God need that? Why did Jesus need that? So that was my question. Why? You jump just a little bit into Malachi 2, verse 17. It kind of pulls this out. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied, you ask? By saying this, this is what the prophet's saying, this is part of Malachi's prophecy, by saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. That wearies God. Or, where is the God of justice? I want to read that again, this part right here. God was by this. Saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is with them. Wow. Does that sound familiar today? What wearies God? Weary. Weary in the Hebrew, it means, and this is what God's saying here. So Malachi's given this prophecy about the end times, and given this prophecy about John, and given this prophecy and says that God is weary. How can God be weary? What wearies God? Wow. What wearies God? Because we can go back and you look at Noah and you see the time of Noah, and now you see moving towards the end times, and we're moving towards this time of Jesus, and we see God getting weary. The Hebrew word for weary means being exhausted. He's exhausted. He's sick and tired of the people complaining. He's sick and tired of these people doing these things that are evil and saying they're good and that God is pleased with them. We find that today. We are finding that today. God wasn't weary with all humanity. That's my take on this is, God wasn't weary with all humanity. To me, he was specifically speaking to this group of people, the Israelites. These people that were given the scriptures and the people that were supposed to be following God. The way the scriptures of the Hebrew Bible spoke on how to serve God, and what did they do? They were making God weary. Weary. They were saying, hey, we can go out and kill people. We can, and right before this, it was a whole breakdown in Malachi of divorce and how the Israelites were not obeying and following God, and they were calling evil good. The Lord gets exhausted. We see this today. We see it today. And this is, I say this. It's kind of coming down to this. Jesus, God, we know, loves all humanity. He was getting exhausted with these people who said they're following God and they aren't. That's exhausting him. The sinful culture of people today, it's basically recognize that there is a God. Christians, believers, that people that recognize that there is a God, and they use a false or fake blessing that God is saying, I'm okay with you guys living in this sinful state because I love you. And they're putting this approval on evil within their life to condone their own sin. That's what gets God weary. And we see with Jesus' life then too, because when Jesus came, did he come and just start bashing on all the sinful people? No, who did he bash on? He bashed on the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people of the church, because this is what was going on. Because God was weary and exhausted with fake, false, hypocrite people. So that's where we're at. So how does this span today? There's an article. I'm going to read this. Do you guys all know who? This shocked me. Jen read this to me. I said, oh, you got to pull that out. You know what the Dove Awards are, right? You ever heard of the Dove Awards? So they're the Christian Music Awards, and they have, you know, all these awards that they give to Christian people and in the music industry. And it's all good because they're all Christian people, right? They all love Jesus, and we're all singing Kumbaya together, and everyone's kind of having a good time. This is what Jen read to me in the car. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I said, how in the world, where are we today? And I was already studying this, and this came out to my attention. It says this, the 54th ceremony of the Gospel Music Association, the GMA Dove Awards, was held in Nashville, Tennessee on October 17th, 2023, so a couple months ago. Former Cademan's Call singer, songwriter Derek attended the premier Christian Awards ceremony wearing a dress. He was accompanied by a drag queen called Flamey Grant. You know who Amy Grant is, right? So there's a drag queen called Flamey Grant. And they go to the Christian Music Awards here. And some other person named Semler or somebody, an openly homosexual musician and singer. Grant, Flamey Grant, was featured on Webb's 2023 album called The Jesus Hypothesis in a song called Boys Will Be Girls. And they are at the Christian Music Association, and they are there, and that's how they show up. Okay. John Cooper, he's the lead singer and bassist for the Christian band called Skillet. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of Skillet. John Cooper, if you look at him, he's a rock and roller, right? He has tattoos all over the place, but he's one of those guys that when I kind of think of John the Baptist, that's kind of the John Cooper type. This is how it is. This is what we need to stand on God's principles. That's how John Cooper. And he came out and said over his social media, and he said this, that he was left speechless by the trio's attendance to the ceremony dressed in drag. But Cooper's comments drew criticism from others in the Christian music industry, rebuking him for unchristlike lack of tolerance and inclusivity. Are you kidding me? I mean, I know here we are in rural Pennsylvania, but we know all this stuff takes place, and we all have people that we know who, I assume, that are touched by homosexual realities of some sort in people's lives. I know people and have friends that are gay, and they don't believe with what I believe, and they believe her, and I know, and we move on. I still pray for them. They come to the Lord, and we have great discussions. But they're not Christians. They don't believe what I believe, and they know that I'm not out there saying what you're doing is right. I tell them the same thing I tell anybody else. Jesus loves you. He wants you to follow His principles. So what do we find here? Now we find this, the Christian Music Association. Man, I'm telling you what, when God sees this, is He weary? This is what was wearying God before John the Baptist came. This is, God was exhausted with the church to say what is good, what is evil is good. Scripture tells us what evil is. Scripture tells us what good is. Then to flip it around and say, oh, well, you're following Scripture, you're not being loving. That you're being unbiblical, you're being unchristlike because you're taking a stand on a principle that God said, this is right and this is wrong. That's where we are today. God is exhausted. I'm not speaking for God, but I'm just saying in Scripture we see that God gets exhausted by this. That was one. So that's what we see in the Dove Awards. Now, we also see it this past week, another shocker. Catholic Church, we all stem from the Catholic Church as we break down. And then here we are thousands of years later as a church that broke off the Catholic Church from years ago. And we have Protestants and you have Catholics. And I'd always look and respect the Catholics because I know many friends and people that I know that love Jesus that are Catholic. And they were shocked just as me when the Catholic Church came out and the Pope said that now priests can bless gay couples. They're not declaring them as, to be clear, they're not declaring them as as husband and husband. The church still holds to a man and a woman as a family, but they're blessing couples of same sex together as a blessing. What? So now the church, and we see it in other mainline churches, don't we? We see it all the time where the churches now are opening the doors and having services for marriage that was never intended to be for a man and a man and a woman and a woman. We know the intent of marriage. One of the oldest foundations of unity for a family is a husband and wife. And it's being destroyed. And the church now, not just society, because we can understand society saying it, right? I can really understand that. I can understand if you are atheist, you have no intent on following God's principles. I understand that because you're under a different code than people as believers. But as a believer, as somebody who acknowledges God and Scripture, that's what wearies God. People saying, man, evil is good. And saying, we are right with God. We are blessed now in our relationship as a couple of two same-sex people in a union. And they've got this blessing of the church. And the church, the Catholic Church right now is going through a battle because there's a lot of people in outrage going, what in the world just happened? This is not what Scripture tells us. This is not what we've been taught from the church. And Protestant church are no different. God is being wearied. We see it in our society today, and it's not by the unbelieving sector of humanity. It's by the believers. It's by people that stand up front, that stand in places of authority of God's word to speak and preach God's word, and they're twisting it. And I think a lot of that comes down to, I used to call it years ago, likeism, like-me-ism. People just want people to like them. People don't want to offend anybody. And that's not what Scripture is. You know, as people, I don't want to offend somebody, but I want to teach them what God's word says. I want to be correct in what God tells us for us as people if we are following God's word. That's where we need to be. The prophet Malachi also talks about John the Baptist. And says, see, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day, because this is what's coming. The prophecy of John the Baptist was a forerunning of a dreadful day. And that's coming. A dreadful day is coming. The Lord comes. He will turn the... Okay, I'm going to start back there on verse 5. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of their children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. And then we go back to Matthew. And Jesus says in Matthew, and he talks about John once again, and he says this in direct response to that prophecy. And he says in verse 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, which we just saw, prophecy. And Jesus continues and says, and if you are willing to accept it, he's talking to these disciples of John now. And if you are willing to accept it, he, John, is the Elijah who was to come. The prophecy given of John the Baptist. The greatest man that Jesus had ever born of a woman. the John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of Jesus. Why? And we're going to get more into that why throughout the series. But John here, as we see, his job was to be the forerunner. His job was to be the forerunner in a society, in a God-fearing, supposedly, society, preparing the way to these people within the Christian community or the Hebrew community, the people that look towards God, the people that look towards the Hebrew Bible, the people that understood these things. He was the forerunner to that community to repent, because what was going on then was going on today. That's where we are. Now, hey, 50 years ago, was it 50 years ago, honestly, 50 years ago, or probably, we're still teaching scripture in our public education system. No more. Now people get yelled at if you have 10 commandments on public property. You know, now Christians are battling other Christians who are standing up for what Christ says in scripture. And people are calling them out on it and saying, oh, you're unloving. Wow. This is our society. Our society, it's our sinful culture of people, it's the culture of sinful people recognize who is, that God is a creator, and they might be Christians, but they understand the concept of God and salvation. And they're taking, those people are taking this fake and false blessing to condone their sin. And when Christians put light on it out of scripture and go down to the principles of what scripture teaches, the people that are teaching correct doctrine now are the evil people. I'm an evil person. And you know how many times people say, well, you're judging me. I'm not judging you. I'm not judging people. Just telling you, this is what scripture says. Don't ask me why it says it, but this is what God says. This is what we have to hold to, and it's for a purpose. It's for a purpose. I mean, I don't understand everything that God decides. I don't understand everything. You know, for instance, even in this passage of scripture, I was digging down through this, trying to understand what Jesus said here. And I read all sorts of commentaries and everyone saying the same thing as me. I don't understand it. I don't get it. And we, you know, we try to dig down. We try. End of the day, as we begin looking at this series of John the Baptist, number one, and we'll get into who he was as everything. And that's next week. You know, that's the push for next week. But as we look at John the Baptist, he was a man that was a strong man. And that's what I want us to picture, is John the Baptist was a man who was weathered. He was weathered both by the desert, by the wilderness, by people abusing him and mocking him and making fun of him. And what did he continue to do? He continued to push forward because he was the forerunner for Jesus. John the Baptist. Jesus said he was the greatest man ever to be born by a woman. So we're going to be stepping into John the Baptist. How does that then, and how can we implement that into our life? And Jesus ends it with that verse. In verse 15, it says, he who has ears, let him hear. Are we hearing? We talked about listening the other week, didn't we? When the Spirit speaks to us, many times we're not listening, we're too busy. Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. We have ears. We want to hear. And I pray that we can follow this word to honor the Lord. That's my prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the prophecies you've given. I thank you for the prophecies fulfilled. Lord, once again, I just ask for your favor upon us as people in this church. Lord, I ask for your favor for people that we come in contact with that are searching who you are, that we are going to open our mouth and begin to let people know of your salvation for those people around us, Lord. Help us not to judge. Help us to be very, very loving. But help us to be very firm on what Scripture teaches for us as Christian people, on how we and you want us to live, Lord. Give us wisdom as we sort all this stuff out in our lives and as we sort stuff out. But Lord, once again, as we look at your messenger, John the Baptist, the next couple of weeks, really speak to us, Lord. Help us to get an understanding more of not just John the Baptist, but more of you. Help us to get a better understanding of you so we can teach and train other people that same thing. In your name we pray. Amen.